Would you please turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1. I mentioned when we started our study in Proverbs that at times Solomon uses a personification of wisdom in order to get his point across. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the call of wisdom this evening. This personification that we see here in Proverbs chapter 1, our text starting in verse 20. If you'll read with me, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets she cries out, at the entrance of the city gates she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffings and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused to listen, you stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. So in verse 7 of chapter 1, we have the statement, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, yet fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we started there and we moved through the idea that he presents in verse 8 and 9, that we needed to heed the advice of parents. And then he goes in verse 10 through 19, we talked about being wary of what companions we might have, and the effect that those companions might have upon us. And so here, when he begins talking about the call of wisdom, there are basically four times that he uses this personification in this way. It's here, and then later in chapter 8 and in chapter 9, and then a reverse personification in chapter 9, in which he uses folly as that personification. And so if you'll just turn over to chapter 9, we'll go ahead and read that passage real quick. Chapter 9 and verse 13. Basically, the opposite of what we're looking at here in chapter 1. Chapter 9 verse 13 says, "The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." So you have chapter 1, wisdom crying aloud in the street, raising the voice, but it's only an attention getter to those that are interested. Whereas this woman folly is seductive and is loud and catches that attention and catches the attention of those that are not looking for wisdom. And so they fall prey to this folly. So let's think about this call of wisdom here, this public cry that is made. In chapter 8 and verse 1, Proverbs 8 and verse 1, it says, "Does not wisdom call, does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand, beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals she cries aloud, 'To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence, O fools, learn sense.'" So you think about the way this is presented and understand that this wisdom is broader than one person. It is something that is available and is making this call that's not a person. We realize that wisdom is available to anybody that wants it. Wisdom is available to anybody that would just perk up their ears, listen a little bit. And he says, "Does not wisdom call, raise her voice, everywhere. She is there. She's crying at the streets and at the gates, available to anybody that, again, is interested, wants to listen. Now, we all need wisdom, but there are some that especially need wisdom, the way this is presented by Solomon. And it says there are those that are simple, that love simplicity, perhaps the morally naive, those that might be easily influenced by others, maybe even easily manipulated by others. They have a need of wisdom in order to see the pitfalls of that pathway and to stop being naive and stop being influenced or taken advantage of. At the same time, it says there are the scorners, those that delight in their scorning, the cynical, the defiant, those that are prone to ridiculing others. They have a need of wisdom as well, because that's all they see, that's all they pay attention to, is an opportunity to be scornful or to be ugly, to embrace that evil attitude toward others. They have a need of overcoming all the scoffing and have faith and have wisdom. And finally, those that are simply foolish, those that we've talked about before, that they shun knowledge, maybe even hate knowledge. They don't want to go through the process that requires some effort in order to gain that wisdom that is being offered. Sometimes the fools are hardened to the point that they even hate that which is good. Turn with me to the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 17, states, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." But that is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Whether they be simple, whether they be scornful, whether they be foolish, these are people that are caught up in some degree of a hardness of heart in which wisdom does not appeal to them. Wisdom, even though it makes that call, and even though it makes that call and says you can benefit from following this, they turn in order to follow this greediness, this that practices every kind of impurity. And so the call here in Proverbs chapter 1 is, listen up. Pay attention so that you can be filled with this wisdom that is being offered. And part of wisdom is a rebuke. And most people don't like to be rebuked. They don't like to be corrected. But she says in verse 23, "If you return at my reproof or rebuke, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you." In order to be filled with wisdom, you have to be willing to be rebuked. To be willing to be told what you're doing is not right. What you're doing is going to lead you to a path of destruction. That's simply not something everyone is willing or ready to do. And that's one of the reasons why they turn away from that particular call. So wisdom is a call to repentance. We must remember that. Wisdom is a call to repentance, a call to change the course in which you are following. And it says that she will pour out her spirit, she will make known her words to them. Wisdom stands there ready to give you that course correction, to allow you to gain forgiveness and be a blessing to yourself, to your families, to everybody around you, and to be a servant of God and to glorify Him in the way that you would live your life. And so that wisdom call for repentance is just like what we see there in Acts 3 and verse 19. Repent and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Without the repentance and without then also the rebuke, there is no forgiveness of sins. We can't decide I'm going to follow God and just keep on going in the direction I've been going the whole time. It doesn't work that way. The call is to make a change in the course in which you follow. The grace of God is clearly seen in wisdom's call. For wisdom, this call for guidance. And people, whether they admit it or not, they desire some level of guidance. I mean, it's in every book that you might find on the shelf or YouTube video. People are looking for guidance on something. You know, sometimes I pull up a YouTube video in order to figure out how to do something because it's not obvious to me. I had to replace a headlight on the truck a little while back, and I sat there messing with that thing, could not figure out how to get that bulb out. It had a little clip that just was not obvious to me on how to pull out that bulb. What do I have to do? Pull up YouTube, look it up, follow the video step by step so I can figure out how to get that bulb out and change it out. I needed a little bit of guidance, and that's just one simple little matter, but people look for guidance in their how they live with their families. They look for guidance in how they do their careers. And yes, they look for guidance in how they're going to live their lives. The problem is they look in all the wrong places. A lot of what they find is that foolishness, that folly that is so loud and seductive that leads to destruction. But wisdom's call is one that requires us to change the course we're on. But along with this calling is a warning. Wisdom gives this call, but for those that refuse that call, for those that disregard the offer of wisdom, well, there's a very stern warning that's included here. Turn with me over to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. For those that have disdain for the counsel of wisdom, for those that refuse the rebuke of wisdom, well, they have something similar to what we have recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 15. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 15. It states, "The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people until there was no remedy." If we push away the call of wisdom, we are pushing away God himself. And it's important that we realize that, you know, Proverbs talks about those that would be scornful, those that would mock, and that's exactly what we're reading about. Those that would come and try to deliver the call of wisdom, they were mocked. They were pushed away. And in extreme cases, many of them were killed simply because they were trying to deliver the call of wisdom from God and calling them to make a change in the course in which they were on. But they would not listen, and so the result was the wrath of the Lord, the wrath of God. And we should not be surprised that the same is still true. If we refuse the wisdom of God, the call to repentance, the call to change course, to follow him, then we will discover the wrath of God as well. Well, there's also this description and warning that those that push away the call of wisdom, that will not listen to the call to change course, that when calamity comes, there's not going to be any help. And that's the thing, is wisdom is something that we store up. Wisdom is something we work on before we need it. Otherwise, it doesn't really help us. You know, it's not as easy as looking up a YouTube video to figure out how to take a bulb out of a vehicle. It's not the same. We can't do that in the midst of some of the most tumultuous moments in our life and decide at that moment, okay, I'll listen to God, I'll go over here and read the Bible and figure it out. Nine times out of ten, it just doesn't work that way. Because what's being described by Solomon here is that wisdom is making this call, people don't listen, and so when this calamity comes, then As it states there in verse 26, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. She's not going to be there to help. She offered assistance beforehand. She offered it when you could take the time to consider and learn and put into practice. But when you're drowning in the storm, she's saying it's a bit late. And they can cry for help, but it's pretty difficult to try to access that wisdom at that moment. They did not choose the fear of the Lord, which was the beginning of knowledge and wisdom to begin with. And so in that moment, they find themselves lacking. They rejected her counsel. They despised her rebuke and her call to repentance. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon while he may be found." The worst case scenario is that calamity is the end of their physical life. And at that point, there is no opportunity to seek the wisdom of God. There is no opportunity to accept the rebuke, to change the course, to repent of what has happened and what has been done within that life. And so they will then suffer the fate of that folly. They will suffer for rejecting wisdom. They will have to accept the fruits of the path in which they have undertaken. And that's no different than anything in life. Everything has rewards and consequences. And if we follow the will of the Lord, we produce the fruit of the Spirit, and we benefit because of that. But if we spurn the will of the Lord, and we follow our own path, then we will reap the flesh, those things of the flesh, and it will condemn us. There's always a result that comes from the choices that we make. And if all of our choices are those foolish things, then it's going to be pretty difficult for anything good to come from it. Let's look at a couple of other spots here in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 3, please. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 25. Thinking of calamity or even sudden calamity, verse 25 says, "Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." The one that listens to wisdom can have that kind of confidence. Don't find yourself in terror. Don't be afraid. The Lord will be your confidence. Over in chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 24. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24. "What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever." He's talking about the Lord rescuing us in those times of calamity. And we are rescued because we listen. We rescued because we paid attention. We paid attention to the call of wisdom that God sounds forth. And too many people wait until it's too late to change their course, to benefit from the value of wisdom. We have to learn while we have time. We have to seek God while He is there and available to us, and while we can still make changes. And so wisdom says destruction is going to come upon those that are simple, those that are foolish, those that do not listen, because they turn away from this true wisdom that God has to offer. They turn away from the power of God to be active in your lives because He's guiding you. He is taking you by the hand and helping you to follow that path of righteousness. And why do they do that? Well, sometimes it's complacency. Sometimes it's laziness. Sometimes it's just arrogance, and sometimes it's ignorance. But nonetheless, the end is that it will destroy them. But Solomon points out that safety and security are available, but only for those that would heed this call of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32, "Now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Did you catch that? Hear instruction and be wise. We have to be open to be instructed by the Lord, so that we can have the wisdom that He offers, and so that we can obtain favor from the Lord. In chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 21, "My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." I imagine that all of us have seen someone that shows this to us. Someone that faced those moments in life that were extremely difficult. Maybe it was a medical diagnosis. Maybe it was the loss or a tragic loss of someone that was very close to them. But you see them because they have been listening to the wisdom of God, because they have been heeding that instruction and become wise, they have their confidence in the Lord, and they are not shaken by those events. It doesn't mean they're not affected. We're affected by everything that happens to us. But if we are standing on the wisdom which God gives to us, then that does not mean we have to be moved just because we are affected. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to heed the wisdom that God offers? There's a lot to learn from wisdom. Just talking about the benefit of wisdom is just scratching the surface. But every instruction that God gives to us is a glimpse into the wisdom that He is offering. You see, it's not just the instruction that gives us wisdom, it's the application of that instruction. And the Bible is full of the instruction, but it's up to us to learn it in such a way that we will apply it, that we will utilize it so that we can be wise. Well, there's plenty of people that can quote all sorts of Bible verses, but they don't put it into action in their lives so that they can be wise by godly standards. And part of what God teaches us is that there is this opportunity that exists. This opportunity to open our hearts to Him, to open our minds to Him, to have a relationship with Him. But at some point or another, the door of that opportunity becomes closed. There's no more opportunity. And there are plenty of people that reason within themselves saying, "I have plenty of time." But that turns out not to be the case. We must take advantage of the opportunities we have now while we have them, rather than say, "I'll do it tomorrow." Procrastination has no benefit for us, especially in godly matters. There will be a time in which it's too late. Today is the day to learn the wisdom of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Working together with Him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, 'In a favorable time I have listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" right now. The door of opportunity is open. An opportunity to learn from God, an opportunity to be obedient to God. Will we be simple or foolish and ignore the opportunity? Will we be one of those that are willing to heed the call of wisdom? And how we respond to that call of wisdom reveals our true character. And in verse 22 there it said, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple?" What do we desire? Do we want to be simple or do we want to be wise? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? That's the way of the world, not the way of God. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. If you will heed the reproof of God, then the opportunity exists for a relationship with Him. If you're here tonight and realize that you need that relationship with Him to begin or to be restored, then we want to offer an opportunity to you. Number 92 has been selected as our song of invitation. If you have need, won't you please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.